Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Nathan Buckley is here, and it's time now for this.
To Buckley, what a magnificent kick. Wonderful.
Buckley, who unloads from 55 metres out. Buckley's got.
The buck stops here. For Tyre Power, they love tipping winners and keeping you safe on the road. May Mega Sale on now.
Whammy.
So here we go, Kano, and I'm going to jump straight into Carlton as my first point. And I think everyone has been talking about Carlton. Everyone will talk about Carlton, but I want to look at it a different way. All right, so let's imagine that you watch that game in isolation, without any lead-in, without any knowledge of where the teams were, and I think that you would see that there was a great effort. Yeah, the great effort by both sides. I think it was a high-intensity game. Swans were a little cleaner than Carlton were, and Carlton's big fellas were wasteful. And so to hear Vossie after the game, he wasn't surprised to hear him talking about those elements that we saw and ignoring the big noise, but his big fellas in Mackay and Curno just weren't able to get it done with their chances.
He'll work through this period of time in his footy, and ultimately down the track he'll learn a lot about himself and what the ultimate, I guess, technique he wants to go with. But he's... you know, he's obviously in a tough spot at the moment. So we're supporting him as best we can, you know, and again, we'll look at all things to be able to try and help that. But, you know, also it speaks to the larger efficiency that we need to obviously build in our game. And it's not at the required standard. It's certainly not the best version of us. So it's a part of our game that we need to be able to get to work on and get to work on pretty quick.
And I think those comments are really accurate. I think Vossie was succinct after the game with the way that he broke the performance down. They played a side that lost the grand final last year after being clearly one of the two best teams in the competition in 2022.
They haven't been that this year, though.
No, they haven't, and neither have Carlton. So how far back do you want to do it? When you come to expectations...
No, I understand, but with the injuries that Sydney have got, I don't think we can say because they were a grand finalist last year.
No.
And they're a quality side. They just beat North by 3 points the previous week.
Well, I'm with you, but the understanding of that both of those sides were desperate to win, and I thought the effort was commensurate with that from both. Carlton went inside 59 times, inside 50 to 52. The contested ball was largely even. There was in terms of a coaching setup, they were set up pretty well to get at what it. I thought that Swans were cleaner at ground level and took advantage of that in their own forward 50 to kick a few goals, and Carlton weren't. Swans, the small defenders, actually found themselves inside the small Carlton forwards for ground level, and they won too many of those contests. But largely, it comes down to the big fellas. Too many drop marks and too many missed shots on goal. Otherwise, they win that game of footy, and then all of a sudden, they're starting to sort of ride it up a little bit. But the coaching isn't the issue. It's the best players not performing at their best. And at the moment, Harry Mackay's out of form, sadly, and it's really hurting the Carlton prospects.
Cripps has to take some responsibility with that as well. I mean, and it's perhaps a little bit unfair, but that's what the best players get. They get targeted. There is now a belief that stop Cripps, stop Carlton. And the job that Isaac Heaney did on him, firstly, terrific coaching from Longmire, who put an out-of-form player to a role and gave him a target, and he set himself for that target and got it done. But not the first time Cripps has been down on form when he's had extra attention this year.
Number two, I'm going to double down on intercept defenders. I spoke a little bit about Darcy Moore when I was talking about his game last week. But, you know, we saw another performance from an intercept defender in James Sicily in Hawthorn's great come-from-behind win against the Saints. And this is what he had to say about his standout performance on the weekend.
Yeah, that was one of my better games. I was a bit flat. I only had four touches in the third quarter. But I've just enjoyed my role since Weddle's come in the side and Blanky, so those guys being able to, and Frosty, should give a shout out to him too, because they've been taking the big guys down there and getting the job done, and it's allowed me to free myself up a bit and get a match up that sort of I'm more comfortable with and play a little bit on my terms. So it's really only because of the development of Weddle and Blanky that I've been able to do that.
I think the best teams in the competition, the best teams in modern football rely on intercept.
They're number
defenders.
One for you, aren't they? They're the most important.
I think the game is showing more and more. Like, you can have midfielders who win 30 touches. Mm. You can have forwards who, and then the strike forwards are the ones, the Toby Greens, the Jeremy Camerons, the Charlie Camerons that find a way, and now Isaac Rankin potentially, that find a way of making something from nothing. That's, to have that effectiveness in your front third. But I don't think that there's teams that are performing at their best without really strong intercept games in the back half, or say it's only a kick behind wherever the ball is. So right now, Collingwood have got it. They're without Jeremy Howe, but they're doing it with Darcy Moore and others. Hawthorn's better performances come off the back of a Sicily doing what he does. Port Adelaide, for all of their personnel issues, Alia still
so
wins.
Big.
Still
huge.
Wins. Big moments and turns what looks like defense into an attacking opportunity. And I think it's probably about the sides that are struggling as much as any. So Geelong have missed Deconing for a long time, first game back. Radigalea has been pretty good, but he hasn't been the same. So, and now he's going to be injured. So the intercept game, Tom Stewart has to play a little bit differently. I think that challenges them. May and Lever have been looked after by either tactics or by form or their form, and they haven't been able to generate their offense from what they normally get their offense from, which is that intercept marking. So Melbourne are a little bit flatter. Carlton, just they don't have an intercept game. McGovern has not been the player that they expected him to be. Wiedering's busy looking after the big dogs. Lewis Young, when they were playing their best football, he was in form, intercepting and pushing off, but that hasn't happened. West Coast have dropped off. McGovern used to be the barometer of it, and Brass in many ways, but they had to work as a tandem for that to be at its best. Western Bulldogs are doing it with just Liam Jones. Is that enough?
He took 10 intercept marks on the weekend,
which backs up what Darcy Moore did. So,
10.
So do they need a Western? Is that going to be enough for the Western Bulldogs? So then Sydney have, as we've said, without the McCartans there, they've sort of relied on. So Melican was in, Francis is in, Nick Blakey's playing. He's a rebound kicker of the footy, but. Yeah, he's not necessarily an intercept marker as such. So they've dropped off. So I just reckon it's a massive part of modern footy. And if you don't have it, you're on the back foot and it's really hard to play winning footy. Number three, Gold Coast and Port Adelaide playing for their coach. And I'm going to focus on Gold Coast for this little part. Stuart Dew would have been, it was accepted that this year would run out and that he'd probably lose his job.
Especially with the week that happened.
Correct. But the fact is that his team are digging in. They went up to Darwin. They've beaten a Western Bulldogs side who are in form and they were pretty happy with the performance after the match.
We got some mad competitors that just wanted to win. And I think, I guess we feel like we haven't been too far away. But when you don't tick one of those over, we understand that can I guess look a little bit false, but we felt like we've been pretty close, and so I'm wrapped for the lads, to be honest, just to have that winning feeling. I feel like they deserve that one.
And his language has been, I'm here. The players are here for me. They've signed on because they're here for me. So his language is really positive. Their performances have been better. They play Adelaide up in Darwin, and they won both of their games in Darwin last year when I spoke about it potentially becoming a competitive advantage, a bit of a fortress for them. I'd love to see if they could get up there to play three or four or five games. It would make a bit of a difference. But they've beaten one of the form teams in the competition in Bulldogs. They play another form team in the competition in Adelaide. Can they lock down this growth that they've got? They're still behind the eight ball. They're 5-6. They're not quite at 50-50, but they have responded. And I just think, their players are playing for their coach, just as Port Adelaide
were challenged
playing for Kenny.
And that was Collins and Ballard behind the ball were excellent. Lukosius, of course. Rao was just enormous. Yeah. And Humphrey through the midfield has really given them something.
They're finding layers, and they're and I think that's the coaching challenge, and it is just to keep finding ways to challenge the opposition and to give yourself the best chance of winning, which you have to say the Gold Coast coaching group are doing at the moment. Number four is Luke Jackson. Now, I saw him obviously close up in the game, Fremantle versus Melbourne. I think you can. It's a great way to judge a player on how he handles coming up against his old teammates. Mm-hmm. And his performance was excellent when the game needed Freo to stand up and to really challenge. His work in and around stoppages was great. His aerial work was great. Thought Luke Jackson really stood up for the Freo Dockers on the weekend.
The ball getters getting plenty of it. Jackson, right foot snap. My goodness. Luke Jackson against his old mob with a big goal for Fremantle.
That's big.
So what do you do, Bucks? You've got these two A-grade ruckmen. You've spoken about where you see rucks in the game and their value. He is a ruckman. I mean, he's an okay forward and he's capable of providing a target. Darcy is not. Did we not just witness where he should be played every week? And is it an elephant in the room for them to try and work out how these two are going to work together?
Look, we could come back around to this. We'll keep this short, but you're pretty quick on that. Like, I think that it depends how valuable they are as aerial threats in front of the ball, and not just as forwards, but running, being forward of it to create a contest for long down the lines to then speed up off. And I think Freo need that. Yeah, Tracy's still a young player. Amos is showing signs and is going to be great and had a really strong game, especially in the big moments. But I still think they need another tall aerial target. So I think those two still work in tandem.
Okay.
It is a consideration on where you spend your money and what that is. But I think they could well be the best ruck duo going around over the next couple of years, because I do rate Sean Darcy as well. But it is a fair ask and it's a fair question, but it's pretty quick off the back of
it. But before the trade, you questioned that as well. Like before they targeted, we questioned what does it do for Sean Darcy, because he's a ruckman, he's not a forward.
Well, Darcy's been playing, he's come to hand. He's playing some of his better footy.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
In the last 5 or 6 weeks. And Luke Jackson, after a slow start, has come on really well. My last one is actually projecting forward. I mean, I've been big on Adelaide, and obviously Collingwood are the form side at the moment. But before I go to this projection, obviously the Adelaide win against Brisbane was huge, and Matty Nix is, he deserves all sorts of credit for what he's been able to build over the last 3 or 4 years, and he's got a young group that are prepared to go the whole way with him.
This is a genuine premiership contender that we just played, who'd won 7 in a row, and we knew we'd have moments where we were under pressure, probably a little more than we'd like tonight, but we held in. We showed grit, we showed resilience. We had 30 D50 stoppages and we were 1-3 against. So that shows that, the group just hung in. And so that's pleasing as a coach.
It is pleasing as a coach, because they didn't do it top of the ground. They didn't do it with everything going in their favour. But I am projecting. So we get to the other side of the byes, the 25th of June. I'm not sure exactly what round we're looking at there. We're looking at round 15. So on the 25th of June, Sunday at 1:10, Collingwood play Adelaide at the MCG. Both are off the bye the week before, so they're both rested and sharp. Rankin versus Quainer, Walker versus Moore, Keys v. Dacos, Nick Dacos. I expect he'd get some attention there. Sloan v. Mitchell or Adams. Majacek v. Murray, and Murray's not a headline act, but he'll be there and he'll be thereabouts.
Yep.
And he's I've just love his attitude and his combativeness. Rochelle somewhere there versus Noble, Chris v. Laird. The matchups will be everywhere. And at that point, depending what happens with Adelaide and Gold Coast this week, I'd expect Adelaide to be 8-5, Collingwood probably 11-1. I reckon we'll be looking at a top four matchup, and I for one, looking forward to that in a month's time.
They should have moved that to the Friday night. Not sure that's even possible, because it wasn't a rolling fixture until after round 15, but it's a shame. It's the early game on the Sunday, 1:10 MCG, Sunday the 25th of June. Put that in your calendars. You can put the Buck Stops here in your calendar each and every Monday. And that was for Tyre Power, tipping winners home or away on Falcon Wild Peaks.